Yeah, when I knew they were going to be performing today and David played that song for me, did you hear she was backed up by the Love Bugs?
Yeah.
Backup singers, the Love Bugs. And I thought, well, let's call to talk. Hello, feelings. Because isn't that what it feels like? Feels like sometimes. Oh, hello, feelings. Yeah, somebody says something, something happens. Hello, feelings. Here they are for me to feel. And that's a feelings job, is to have me feel it, whatever it may be. Now, I need this long list, which is one line, and I just wanted to get it right. The metaphysical meaning of feeling. Feeling is external to thought. Behind every feeling or emotion, there lies thought, which is its direct cause. To erase a feeling, a change of thought is required. So often we say, I feel it's this, but no, it's I think. It's actually my thought that I confuse with my feeling. Feeling has to do with a lot of the sensations that go on in the body, and those sensations start, and then I begin to think. Okay, but we get confused and we don't realize, no, it's the thoughts that create the sensations that then lead to more thoughts. And in our confusion, we're giving responsibility, we're telling effect that it is cause. And we're negating cause altogether. But we live in a world of cause and effect, not effect and cause. And so to get that straight in your metaphysical studies, in your spiritual practice, cause precedes effect. And cause is based on thought. So if the air conditioner falls on me, that is not the cause. That is the effect of somebody else's thinking that shoved an air conditioner out the window somehow. And then I got hit, but I had a thought. I first had a thought. Because unto itself, the air conditioner hitting me has no meaning. It's what I do with the ouch that gives me my whole experience, that gives me all my feelings around it. And so I feel he should not have done that. I feel he should have been more careful. No, I think he or she should have been more careful with their air conditioner. Because when an air conditioner hits me as I'm walking down the street, these feelings come up based on my thoughts about it. And so I think it's you, David Friedman, who says that a feeling is a thought that I think is true. That I believe
no,
is true.
A belief is a thought.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, then. A belief is a thought that I think is true. But within these feelings, and to me, the feelings are completely based on my sensations within my body. So I have an itch, and I have a thought that this itch means this, and then all sorts of feelings begin to manifest in my being. And then I have more thoughts about the feelings. Then I have more feelings. And then more thoughts about the feelings. So it's just a big cycle until I interrupt the cycle with a new thought or a true thought. Now, how do I go about finding this true thought? I go within. And for my practice, I just say, Spirit, I want a true thought about this. I'm willing to have a true thought so that I don't keep telling myself a story to try to compensate for my feelings around the itch. And the itch can be mental or physical. We're very itchy people. And we want to scratch it in some way. We want to scratch that itch. And you know, there's all sorts of ways, drugs and alcohol and anger and spending and food and yelling at people and shutting down. There's all sorts of ways to scratch those emotional itches. All sorts of ways. And some of them we justify. Well, I have to. I have to do this because it's just too itchy. I need 2 pints of ice cream tonight. I need it because I've got an itch. And the only way to scratch it is through ice cream. Cake, what have you. One of my favorite stories, David told this a lot. We were at my brother's. Was that 2 weeks ago? Wow. And 10 years ago or so, we were at my niece and nephew-in-law's wedding. And there's plenty of drinking there, as there is at a lot of weddings. We don't do it. But there was also drama around certain individual family members who they imbibed more than others, and there's concerns that things might happen. And David, or the Smugglies, looking around, oh, look at all the drama in Sean's family.
I have thought exchange.
Yes. 6 pieces of cake he had. Somebody got up to dance and they hadn't eaten their cake. David ate it from their place setting around the room. Not just at our table. He had an itch that needed to be scratched based on thoughts that led to feelings. And so I need to create more feelings within the sensations of eating cake. And so it goes on, because so often the thing we don't take the time to stop and do is to pray sincerely, to pray in earnest. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, defines prayer as conscious communion with what God is. Conscious communion, not just. Rote, we'll say. I can't think of the word. It starts with an R. But, where you just do it out of habit. Not that kind of prayer. Foxhole prayers, what have you. Just, I used to put myself to sleep at night way, way years ago. Thank you, God, for today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know why I said in Jesus Christ's name we pray, except the Church of Christ we went to when I was a kid. That's how they would pray. The reason I prayed like that was because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to fall asleep if I didn't do it. And so that was my habit and my ritual. And but it didn't help my life. It didn't make a difference to my life. Now, 89, whatever. When I was falling apart in so many ways, and drinking had a lot to do with it. And I remember one night I came home and I was particularly sad, and that was the night I said, God, I need help. I need help. I just can't do it alone anymore. And that was probably the most sincere prayer I'd ever had. And I really thought I was communicating with something, a power, an energy. I didn't really think of it as a person, but we personify to a degree. But the next day, I went into work at Don't Tell Mama, and I saw somebody who had just joined a fellowship, and I went to him, and I said, would you take me with you? I prayed. I had a new idea. It wasn't, oh, God, please help me. It's, God, I need help. Because I really believed I had been doing it on my own. And many of us get that way because, you know, we had families that left us to our own devices of thinking, to the point where we became addicted to that, to using our own devices of thinking, because those adults were not safe to rely on emotionally, mentally, not for all of us, but for some of us. They were just, our adults were unreliable. And so you wouldn't trust them to get you out of a paper bag, let alone a dire situation. And so you had to figure it out for yourself, not knowing that there was a power greater than yourself, that there was a voice, divine voice within you, where you got your guidance, where you got your instincts. And I, over the years, of course, I have grown to depend on that voice. I hear it loud and clear all the time. It guides me in so many ways. I'm not telling you I always listen to it. I'm telling you I always hear it. There is a voice that tells me loud and clear, Sean, you don't need that cake. You could survive the discomfort of not eating that cake. Clearly, I like cake. I like cookies, too. And a piece of candy is nice. carbohydrates in general. I hear the voice, though, that says, son, you can get through the next moment. Come on in. You can get through the next moment of discomfort, of the feelings that come up, if you don't eat that. In fact, you'll be healthier and better off if you wait for the next moment, through this moment, and don't comfort yourself. If you don't use some sort of a substance to appease your feelings. And that voice is always right. But it doesn't mean I always listen to it, but sometimes I do. So I know the difference. I very much know the difference. And I can eat grapes, like as I'm the last food addict too, but grapes aren't as satisfying as cake. On those days when you're in the habit of eating cake and the habit of M&Ms and the habit of, and I'm using these rather than talking about when you're in the habit of heroin, you're in the habit of cocaine, when you're in the habit of other stuff. Those are feelings. Hello, feelings. Oh, having a feeling, better eat something. Having a feeling, better smoke something. Having a feeling, better call somebody and yell at them. Having a feeling, better find out what's wrong with something somewhere. David is an example of some Broadway star he used to work with. And she walked into a room and said, I'm upset with someone. And it's you. She'd just find somebody at random to be upset with. Because she couldn't tolerate. She couldn't tolerate that she was uncomfortable in her skin that day. So it had to be somebody's fault. Anybody catch themselves ever doing that? Yeah, oh, okay. It's not going to be one of the cats. Hello, feelings. It's based on my thoughts. All of my feelings start with my thoughts. And so it seems to me I need to explore my thinking and my habitual thinking. I said years ago, you know, my obsession to drink was lifted early. My obsession to think has yet to be lifted. But when I began to work on my thinking, and the first part of it had to be to think without shame, but to think with prayer. To think without guilt, but to think with prayer. Because in prayer, I do not have a divine voice that tells me I ought to be ashamed or guilty. I do not have a voice that tells me shame or guilt is redemption. A new thought is redemption. A new, true thought about myself and about everything around me. That is the redeeming thing. And it's not that I'm redeeming myself in the eyes of God. The redemption is that I'm acknowledging my true self, my real true self. And when I see my real true self, I see the real true you. So I don't have to look around, who upset me today? Maybe all of you, maybe none of you, maybe suddenly the street. I don't have to do that. When I'm acknowledging, okay, I feel this way because I think this way, but I don't have to take the old action. I can do something else. I had many, in my early healing years, there were many Saturday nights I had nothing to do and no one to do it with. And I thought, well, I could go out, but that's not going to help me. In fact, it might be dangerous for me to do that. And I would stay home, very uncomfortable in my skin. And I might go to bed a little sad. But I never woke up on a Sunday morning sad. Ever once. If I was kind and loving to myself on Saturday night, even if I was uncomfortable, Sunday morning was a loving day. I woke up healthy. My mind wasn't clouded with whatever. And I could be present to start that day. That's what I observed based on working on thinking and feeling and action. I observed what stories I told myself. I observed all that because the stories I tell myself are based on my thinking. I know people who their house is filled with affirmations. And it's as if they never read them. It's like wishful thinking. And they call themselves nice names and they do things like that. But they really, it's just wishful thinking because somehow they don't believe. They don't think that that could have actually applied to them. And you know, some people are so unkind to themselves. I watched my mother. My mother wanted to live a higher thinking life than she did. But she was just riddled with shame and embarrassment to be her. And so and when we'd talk, and I'd say, Mother, you know, you don't have to do that. She'd say, well, I know, but. Well, I know, but. And I said, you know, I'm not throwing anything up in your face anymore. I'm not accusing you of anything anymore. You know, we know. I know, but. She was afraid to take that next step. And that's, it was like when I was afraid to quit smoking because how will I ever drive a car or talk on the phone again? And so finally I said, fine, I'll never drive a car or talk on the phone again. If that's what it means to put the cigarettes down because I wanted to get rid of the smoke screen between me and God. That's why I wanted to quit smoking. Imagine if God were your highest goal each and every day. Not religion, but God. The light of your being, your one true voice. Imagine if that were your highest goal every day. Would you ever gossip again? Would you ever complain again? Well, not until you forget. That's when we complain, that's when we gossip, that's when we criticize. When we forget our light. When we forget our light. And then suddenly it's hello feelings. Of course, there's chemicalization too. My goodness, we could do three classes in the time of this today. Chemicalization, introducing new ideas to old ways of thinking. And when that happens, sometimes your life goes shmoosh. I am quitting smoking. Somebody brings you three cartons from the duty-free store. I'm done with gossiping. And all the dirt in town is on your voicemail. I am dieting. And the cravings come on like nobody's business. Because so often we are doing it out of self-will instead of with the divine voice to guide us. And we stay open, we listen. I haven't talked about this on the microphone. You know, we started Weight Watchers a few months ago. Now, I had been getting quite ashamed of my weight because I had a thought that said I should be. And I'm still down to a weight I used to be embarrassed to be up to. But we have a friend in Florida, and we were down there. And we saw him, and he looks amazing. And he's somewhere around the same age as us, somewhere in between the two of us. But he was explaining Weight Watchers to us. And the app. And the barcode on the app. And suddenly, something that came up was, you can't cheat. It's impossible to cheat on this. You just put down your points. You'll either be within your points or not, but you can't cheat. You can lie to yourself, but you can't cheat. There is no diet. There is recording your points. And it's all done on your phone for you. All you have to do is enter a cheat. And I thought, this is possible. And so far, we're doing pretty well. And I, you know, we traveled last week. I ate some peanut M&Ms. The cravings came back. I opened my mind to the craving that said, you must have this. And I didn't wait and let it pass. And once I got the crunch back into my mouth, oh, I must have more. But again, I didn't cheat. I wrote it down. I'm willing to be honest. As far as that goes, I'm not so honest to think that, oh, you can do this tomorrow. You'll just eat less tomorrow. I'm not that honest. I play that game. Tomorrow you'll eat less. But it's, the feelings came up, bless you, and that's where it went. Hello, feelings. I'm going to read a little bit before we end here. This comes from Timothy, chapter 4. The feelings within you are not to be hidden. As you hide your feelings from yourself, you are confused as to who you are. How many of us have said, I shouldn't feel this way? Anybody said that? I was like, but I do. Yeah, but you shouldn't. I've told you that it is time to look at who you are not. We do this for only one purpose, to realize who you are. Know thyself. Do not be afraid of the feelings you find within. They do not define you. They are not who you are. They are who you are not. By looking at them and experiencing them and not fearing them, you may release them. As they go, you shall see they were not who you are. As you release them, do not make this error. Do not feel that your feelings were caused by anything in the world. They were not. But also, I would say, do not think that your feelings were caused by anything in the world. They were not. The feelings were in the mind first. The world was made to seem to cause them, but that is an illusion. In this way, celebrate the world. Be grateful that it can be used to show you your need for healing. But do not give glory to the world as the cause of your feelings, because it is not. To give glory to the world in this way is to deny who you are. And who you are is a beloved child of God, a beloved child of light, a beloved child of wisdom and intelligence, a beloved child. As I was taught, God does not have grandchildren. We are beloved children of intelligence. It's in us to use. And so think about the world you perceive and where you have blamed it for why you have to think the way you do and therefore feel the way that you do. Think of the television you watch. Think of your neighbors. Think of the traffic on your street. Think of public figures. And how many have you said, I have to think this way. Look what they're doing. And no, I don't. I've been working lately on loving those people. Loving those people I have feared. Loving those people I have resented. To realize they're the same as me. And they want to be known, not they want to be loved. They want to know that they are loved. In spite of what they think. In spite of how they have behaved. That's what I want. Anybody? Anybody here want to know without a doubt that they are loved and cannot not be loved? No matter what your neighbors think about you. No matter what your parents ever tried to tell you. No matter what. You are loved because you can't not be loved. Oh, what a relief. When I learned that in Unity, I was so grateful. Oh, I was taught God doesn't love you. And I thought, really? Yeah, because God is love itself. God can't not love you. We live in love. And so if we're relying on the validation of other people, we might be in trouble. Because they're going to bring up some new thoughts and new feelings if those people are not in the mood. We sang that song to Kenneth last week in jest that David wrote. But think about how many people, I want Kenneth's approval. Oh, please, Kenneth, approve of me. Till finally they got it. Oh, I don't have to have his approval. I just want to work with him because he's fun. I love Kenneth. So I want to work with him because he's fun. I don't need his approval. My goodness. He's going to teach me what I need to be taught. And if he isn't teaching, I'll ask him to teach it to me. And can you say it in this way? I've done that with trainers in the gym when I went to the gym. And I said, you can't yell at me and expect me to get better at this. I won't respond. Have you noticed I'm weaker when you yell at me and I'm stronger when you encourage me? And he got it. And so he shifted the way he worked with me. We ask for what we want from our teachers, from our friends, our family. And so to realize how we have felt when we didn't get it the way we, when people didn't show up as good parents to us, like the world, like a woman at the grocery store the other day, guiding me all over the store, didn't have a clue what I was talking about. Oh, no, it's down there. And she did it with an attitude, no less. And I, it wasn't down there. What's more, the store didn't even have it. One last thing. Oh, by the way, with the Weight Watchers thing, the thing that really convinced me was that all fish is 0 points. All fruit is 0 points. All vegetables are 0 points. I thought, there is so much, what? Oh, and eggs are 0 points. There is so much I can eat now without, you know, the peanut M&Ms, we're still waiting for them to revise the program. See, the body is the tool that tries to give meaning to your feelings. If you feel guilt, it finds a scenario that seems to create the guilt, but the guilt was already in the mind. You all listening to me? Everybody in the room listening to me, say yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. Who didn't say yes?
Yes.
As you see the body, do these things, remember who you are. You're looking at the reflection of thoughts in your mind. You are giving that which you receive. The feeling of guilt comes from you, then goes to the world and returns just as it was given. So if you have said to the world, I am guilty, I'm ashamed, the world says yes. You are guilty, you are ashamed. Doesn't say you should, it just says you are. Until you go to the world, first you go to yourself, and then you go to the world and say, I don't have to be. I'm a beloved child of God. I am a beloved child of God, and I am loved with a never-ending love. I am a beloved child of God. Can we say that together? I am a beloved child of God. And I am loved with an everlasting love. And I am loved with an everlasting love. So it is. Amen. Thank you.